Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so hopefully you got the opportunity to swing on over there and check that out. If not, it'll be there for you, so don't worry about it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get on over to that Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and give that a like while you're over there. We definitely appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I, of course, are on Twitter as well. You can find me at Burke Time, and you can find Dan at...
Oh, Dan's in one of three.
Lost my train of thought there for a second as my DM phone keeps popping, you know, popping off there. So, all right, yeah. But I did want to ask you, Dan. Are you okay? You want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, one of the top performing batters last night. If FanDuel was still doing the home run derby, I don't remember it was. Yoan Moncada with two home runs, and then James Paxton had a nice start yesterday with 8 innings, 12 Ks, no earned runs, which was pretty much up there with a complete game by Mike Minor. I think it was almost a perfect game, wasn't it? Well, no, because he gave up two walks, but, so those were the hot guys yesterday that I'm taking here from Stathead's newsletter. And as I wrap it up, like always, today is Marquise Grissom's 52nd birthday, and Jed Lurie turns 35. I'm brought to you again by Stathead.
I didn't have a very good fan tonight. I didn't even get to 100 points last night. So, just one of those things. Hopefully, I will bounce back tonight with my lineup. But, yeah, I had to ask you right off the bat because this just baffled me. I mean, obviously when the list of umpires that players think are bad, comes out, Joe West's name is always on it. And he made one of the oddest decisions today that I've seen in a while. The White Sox are playing the Royals. In Tim Anderson's first at bat, he hits a two-run bomb, and he does the super mega bat flip where he just kind of grabbed it and chucked it towards the Royal dugout. So no surprise this next time up, Brad Keller hits him right in the rear end. Now, not much really happens to start. Anderson is, basically headed to first base, and Martin Maldonado, the Royals catcher, is in between them. And obviously he's upset. He just got drilled in the rear end with a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball, which doesn't make anybody happy. So, he's on his way to first base, and then all of a sudden the managers start yelling at each other. So the bench is empty, and there's, some pushing and shoving, but nothing major. And then when they break things up, Joe West decides that obviously Brad Keller has to go because he was throwing at Anderson intentionally. But for some reason, he threw Tim Anderson out. I just don't understand what the hell the decision was. You get thrown out for getting hit in baseball now?
Well, he did pat Maldonado on the chest as they were walking to first base.
Yeah. So, just kind of strange there. In the end, when it was all said and done, I mean, the Royals go on to win the game 4-3. So, they did go 10 innings. But, it was just, such an odd decision. And I'm kind of like, wait, I mean, I, I get it. And, you know, like Anderson, you know, again, obviously he's upset about getting hit, but, you know, there's nothing anywhere in his demeanor that says he should have been ejected. And it was just like, okay, that was just a incredibly stupid umpiring decision. And I mean, I'm not saying Joe West made it, but it was an incredibly stupid umpiring decision.
Yeah, and sadly, he's probably going to get a game for it, too.
Yeah, well, that would be the worst thing. If he ends up getting a suspension, I mean, that's definitely not justified there at all. He's got no reason to be suspended. You know, I mean, what was the worst thing he did besides, basically tapping Maldonado in the chest, like you said, and then, you know, getting held back by Jose.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those old school rules, and I don't mean old school as an old school, but I mean as an old dumb school rule that if you're involved in an altercation, you get in trouble also.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm glad you went here first because I was dying to talk about it, and this is one of those things that I think baseball needs to legislate already. I'm getting sick and tired of it. They were calling Anderson's bat flip epic, and number one, I think every writer, reporter, anyone who uses that term needs to be slapped in the face first. Because they say that about everyone who throws a bat flip that causes controversy, number one. So, if I was the editor or in chief of any organization that writes for anything, I would say you're fired. I'm letting you know now that if you use epic again, you're fired. Besides the point, I wouldn't call Tim Anderson's bat flip a bat flip. It was more like a bat throw. That one was kind of comical to me, but in the end, baseball needs to legislate this either. Completely get rid of, disallow them from using the bat flip, which I don't really have an issue with, but I think it's mandatory that if a pitcher intentionally hits the batter, you get a 6-game suspension.
Yeah, they've definitely got to come up with something before somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed, is somebody's going to get seriously injured.
Because it's kind of old. And I know the old unwritten rules of baseball and whatnot, but with the way the game is played now, this is just getting over the top. I get it. You're upset that he hit a home run, but, get over it. And you got to wonder, too, is it really the pitcher or is it the old guy in the dugout that can't let go of things like that? I think Ned Yost is a pretty solid manager, but is that one of those things that he just cannot let go of? And I think that's why Ricky Renteria was yelling at him from the dugout.
The bat flip was a little excessive, but it's no worse than we've seen anybody else do. And I mean, I will, at least Brad Keller didn't go headhunting. If you want to throw inside and maybe send a message without hitting him, that's okay. And, at least, like I said, at least he hit him in the rear end. He didn't go up top where some guys do go, which is, even worse. But, it's just ridiculous. And, I understand there are some unwritten rules, but, this one really needs to go away, because then the worst thing about it is the one thing baseball wants is faster games. Well, all this did was slow down the game for, 15 minutes. The Royals had to bring their pitcher in from the bullpen after the ejection, so he gets as much time as he needs to warm up. So that takes, extra time, and you got everybody just kind of standing around doing nothing. It's like, oh, okay, great. Let's not play baseball now instead of just going after a guy, and both guys could still be in the game, and we wouldn't have any problems. But it's just like, come on.
Well, and, you know, you brought up the biggest part. It's supposed to speed up the game. And why are they trying to speed up the game? For the younger generation, the kids, to watch the game.
Right.
So if that's the basis you're going on, what is this teaching the kids by allowing the pitcher to hit another batter?
You know, and I mean, you know, even somebody like me, I mean, you know, I knew there was going to be a delay. I turned the game off and went for look for something else because, you know, I knew I was going to have plenty of time to come back and, you know, not miss anything. I knew it would be at least 5 or 10 minutes before they got going again. And it's like, oh, okay, no problem. So. Yeah. But, we did have, some really, I mean, really good afternoon baseball today. We had 4 games early, and I think there's 3 that are getting ready to start right now. The Phillies beat the Mets 3-2. In that game, you saw Jake Arrieta go 8 innings, and he looked like Cy Young Award-winning Jake Arrieta, except he didn't strike out a bunch of guys. He did go off for the 9th and ran into a little bit of trouble. He struggled with the first 2 batters. They got him out of there. The relievers who came in ended up giving up 1 run. But the Phillies did hang on. So Arrieta got the win. Zach Wheeler took the loss. And Hector Neris gets the save. The Cardinals beat the Brewers 6-3 to avoid being swept there. And Michael Walker looked really good in his start. Almost as good as Corbin Burns looked bad, but you know, that I told you that's been my contention with the Brewers pitching is they're going to burn out. And, you know, it's not even May yet, and Burns looks like he was burned out because he, you know, just doesn't look ready. But Walker got the win, Burns took the loss, and Jordan Hicks got the save. And then the Dodgers beat the Reds 3-2. Walker Buehler pitched fantastic for the Dodgers, and Sonny Gray was also really good. The big mistake he made was giving up a 3-run bomb to A.J. Pollock. And that's all the runs the Dodgers needed. So, of course, Buehler got the win. Gray took the loss. And Kenley Jansen picked up a save there. And then that White Sox game, Willie Peralta got the win for the Royals. Nate Jones took the loss. And Scott Barlow, a name you may not hear much as a reliever for the Royals, but he did pick up a save today. So, there you go. I mean, 4, you know, really good and 3 of them really closely contested. The Cardinals got out to a 5-0 lead early, and they were, just kind of rolling. But I don't know how much you got to see it, you know, being that you had to work today. But there was some good baseball on this afternoon.
Yeah, no, I was listening to the Mets and the Phillies.
Yeah, you know, and then the rest of the schedule looks like this. The Red Sox are, again, at the Yankees. No surprise, that's the Mickey Mouse Network Wednesday night baseball game. We got the Indians at the Mariners, the Pirates at the Tigers, the Giants at the Nationals, the Orioles at the Rays, the Cubs at the Marlins, the Diamondbacks at the Braves, the Blue Jays at the Twins, the Angels at the Rangers, and then the MLB Network game is the Astros at the A's. So there you go. You know, lots of fun stuff. But, yeah, it was one of those afternoons where it was just fantastic to be able to watch baseball because, you know, like I said, obviously with the exception of the Brewers-Cardinals game, you know, everything was right on. And, I mean, pitchers were rolling and, you know, it was kind of like, is it just the fact that it's an afternoon game or is the weather finally giving guys enough of a break to where they can kind of pitch? So, you know, we'll have to, you know, I guess we'll have to see how the night goes. Hopefully it goes well. But, you know, the Braves got some bad news here, Dan, I guess last night or today, however you look at it. The guy they've been grooming as a closer, I'm not even sure how to pronounce his first name because I know it's not Aroldis because there's no L. But Vizcaino, he's going to undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. You know, he's had a bit of an injury-prone career. I think this may be his the second or possibly even third surgery on his pitching arm. You know, obviously we're all, you know, everybody thought the Braves were going to be a contender, some people more than others. Does this put them front and center in the Craig Kimbrel market now? Or do you think that, you know, everybody is still kind of biding their time and waiting?
I mean, they would have to take a look, but, you know, knowing that they need a guy, how does that affect his negotiation? You know, for getting
well, you know, I would like
term.
To know. You know, I know he said that he, you know, his demands came down, but I would still like to know where those demands are, because he's been a little, you know, out of control with, you know, what he's asked for. So, yeah, and then looking at Vizcaino's career here, it looks like he missed 2 years after arm surgery, 2012 and 2013, working through some stuff. And, you know, now this year he's going to go down having pitched only, you know, 4 games or 4 innings. So, yeah, I mean, you think it's got to give Kimbrel a little power, right? But the Braves still aren't. You know, they're not going 5 years and, you know, $60 million or $100 million or whatever he wants, right?
No, I would, you know, remainder of this season and possibly next year.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just one of those, odd things, because that's what I saw, you know, originally. You know, he wanted 6 years, and then when they said his demands came down, it came down to 5 years. And I'm like, well, yeah, technically that's coming down, but it's not coming down anywhere to, you know, where anybody's going to sign you. Yeah, you know, if they're not going to go six, you're not going to get five. But I guess that's just kind of how it goes there. I guess that's what he thinks he's worth. Now, you know, Dan, I still keep hearing this goofy BS that they don't think teams want to give up the draft pick for guys like Kimbrel and Keuchel. But, you know, you and I have been over this so many times, and I don't know why nobody else understands it. The compensation isn't anywhere close to what it used to be. So could that really even be an issue, or are they just out of ideas on why these guys aren't signed?
I think they're completely out of ideas.
Just kind of nuts. Yeah, because I heard somebody mention that. I think it might have been last night while I was flipping channels. And I was just, really? I mean, who honestly considers that being an issue at that point, that, you know, these guys don't have contracts? I mean, the issue is the fact that, you know, it's, you know, A, it's a closer asking for a boatload of years and a boatload of money at, you know, while his resume says, yeah, hey, great, you know, he looks like that guy. You don't want to pay a closer till he's 35 or 36. You know, and then I think Keuchel just got a little crazy with his years and money when teams weren't doing that. You know, I mean, I honestly think Keuchel could have got 3 or 4 years, you know, maybe 4 with an option, if he wouldn't have been so steadfast on wanting 6 and, you know, $20 million or $25 million that he was asking for. I mean, would 4 at $18 million a year with an option been that bad for him? I mean, would that $2 million hit been just too much that he couldn't have paid his bills?
Yep.
So yeah, I just, you know, I don't get these guys. I get it that, you know, they're great, both great pitchers. You know, I mean, Keuchel's a former Cy Young Award winner, and like I said, Kimbrel's got a, you know, one of the best closing resumes in baseball ever, but, you know, neither guy had any clue about what was going on in the market this year. Either them or their agent or whoever it was just incredibly stupid, you know, when it came to that. And now, you know, we're halfway through April and both of them are still watching games. You know, and I wouldn't touch Keuchel. You know, if he came in and said he wanted to pitch for free for me, I don't know if I would touch him with as bad as the, starters have been coming back from these kind of things?
I mean, do you pay him to play in AAA for 2 months?
He, you know, wouldn't he have to? You know, I mean, he's gotta go somewhere and get ready, because obviously, no matter how much they say, well, you know, he's been working out and he's been throwing to this and he's been throwing to that, it's not the same as throwing to, you know, obviously major league hitters, or, you know, even, you know, in some cases, minor league hitters. So he's gonna need time to get himself ready, and you know, I think Kimbrel would obviously take a shorter period of time, because you know, obviously you're only gonna ask him to come in and pitch one inning. You know, but that may be kind of the caveat with him. Do you think? You know, I mean, looking at the fact that it's April now, say he gets into camp and he's ready to go in, I don't know, the middle of May, is he ever really honestly stretched out enough to where you could get 2 innings out of him if you needed it without worrying about him blowing out an arm?
No. Well, I mean, you'd have to play it by ear. You'd have to watch.
Yeah, because, that would be the thing that could scare me. You know what I mean? You know, even at first you have to wonder – how much of a stretch would just one inning be, you know, for him to go out there and try to do? I mean, you'd have to watch that pitch count. I mean, if he has a rough inning and he has to go 20 or 30 pitches, does he need 2 days off? Does he need 3 days off? I mean, you know, how much does he set back your bullpen by having to wait and be like, well, okay, he's going to need, you know, this much time off now because he threw 20 pitches? So, yeah, I don't know. I just wonder, you know, obviously they clearly overplayed their hands in the off season, and, you know, we'll see how it, you know, how it goes the rest of it. I mean, do you see both of them or one of them eventually getting signed?
I think one of them does. I'm just surprised they're still out there.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, we've had some injuries now, and yet neither guy has really been contacted. I know there were some Kimbrel rumors early with the Brewers, you know, because they've had, you know, quite a few bullpen injuries, actually. But, you know, nothing ever really came through there, and you just kind of wonder – you know, it down the line, is it going to happen somewhere? So, you know, just kind of one of those things. So, and then are you, Are you as convinced now as everybody else that Chris Sale got his big contract and now he's done?
he's kind of David Pricing on you, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm wondering, and you know, maybe I'd be interested to know which way you'd go on this. You know, Alex Cora did mention again yesterday that since they, you know, they won the World Series and they played into, you know, basically November, they took a different strategy with their starting pitchers, and they didn't allow them to throw as much in spring training. Now, you know, Sale hit 97 last night on the gun, so velocity wasn't an issue. Do you think maybe these guys still aren't in regular season form, I guess, so to speak?
I mean, that could be an issue. You know, I mean, let's be honest, he's never – gone that far.
Yeah. So, you know, because that's what I, yeah, because that kind of got me thinking. I was just kind of like, well, maybe he's still, you know, working through stuff that he'd have been working through at the end of spring training had he, you know, had his normal workload. And you know, I think, you know, in reality, I believe the only actual Red Sox starting pitcher that's been decent is David Price. You know, I all think they've, you know, they've had some issues coming out of the gate. So, yeah, I was kind of wondering, do you buy into that, or do you just think maybe Sales finally hit his wall or his max, or, you know, the stuff has just caught up with him?
I think it's caught up with him a little bit, but pulling him out of his regular, you know, spring training, I think they're trying to be a little too safe, a little too progressive, and it's hurting them.
Yeah, I'm always still kind of baffled when, you know, they have all this world-class, you know, equipment and all this stuff that goes with it, that they baby these guys as much as they do, and they don't try to, you know, stretch them out and get them to the big stage to be ready. It's, again, the Red Sox jump quick 1-0 lead with the Martinez solo home run. So,
yeah, well, I mean, you've mentioned a million times a little bit more with the NBA, but, you know, these guys are world-class athletes. This is what they do. This is all they do. And I think the whole error on the side of safety doesn't work well.
Yeah, I just kind of lost it when it, you know, it comes around like that. Didn't let him his job.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of goes back. It goes back to when, you know, you and I used to wrestle, and you know, the one company in particular, guys would show up and wrestle there one Saturday a month and get hurt every single month. You know, something hurt on them. And, you know, where I was getting a few other bookings, but then we were also in the training center, you know, 2-3 times a week, you know, perfecting the craft, learning to get better and just keep on doing it. And, you know, one of the guys threw that out there, you know, and it pissed off another guy, but he looked at him and goes, well, maybe you get hurt all the time because you don't come in practice. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Well, you know, your body's not used to taking the beating that we take. He's like, you know, look at Dan the Man, look at me, look at this guy and that guy. We're here every single week, 2-3 times a week, you know, taking the bumps, hitting the ropes, jumping, flying, you know, doing all the crazy stuff we do. He's like, you know, we get hurt less because we're doing it all the time.
Yeah, you know that's kind of my thing. I mean, you know, you're telling me you couldn't control his workload, so to speak, or their workload to, you know, get them where they needed to be. I mean, you know, that just, you know, stuff like that just kind of baffles me when it's like, you know, and I mean, we went over this all last year, you know, with the Cubs pitching staff. You know, they went out and got what was supposed to be, you know, one of the best pitching coaches in baseball. And they didn't improve. Well, what did he do?
He quit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you look at teams like, you know, the Pirates, you know, who have fantastic success with, you know, their pitching coach getting guys who are, you know, really off the scrap heap and all of a sudden turning them into, you know, quality pitchers again. You know, obviously the White Sox have a good pitch coach and, you know, Don Cooper. You know, there's a couple other guys out there who have been able to, you know, to do this or, you know, kind of work this out. But, you know, this guy got his reputation in Tampa Bay with Joe Maddon, brought him in, and, I mean, he was just a gigantic, you know, embarrassment is the only real way to look at it. You know, and I wonder now, you know, as the Red Sox season moves along, are they going to question this decision?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, neither of you or I know the dynamic that was going on in Tampa, which, I mean, I think, you know, I wasn't overly excited because it's big wow. I don't think, you know, the Cubs did that. Well, that was last year with Chili Davis. You know, every coach that they brought in to quote unquote fix these guys hasn't worked. Oddly, this year's turned around for Jason Hayward. you know, with Riz and Schwarber and Bryant, I still would like to see a bigger turnaround for them. But, you know, it's still early. But, you know, the other thing is, what was the dynamic in Tampa? You know, how often was Joe going out there and pulling a pitcher after four in the third innings going up against the Yankees and the Red Sox? I don't know. And you've got to wonder, was that why Hickey left? That he's trying to do something, and, you know, here you are, and it doesn't matter whether you're John Lester, Kendricks, you know, whoever. Did I even say his name right? I'm so off right now. No, I didn't. That's where you're supposed to correct me right away.
You did a Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah, I did. And can you correct me right away now? Because I'm off. Hendricks. No.
Kyle Hendricks. You were close. You added the first initial to the, you know, is what got you there. So,
but I mean, how do you feel when you're the pitching coach and you're supposed to be working with these guys, but these guys go four and a third inning and they're getting pulled because there's a man on second with one out every other night? You know, it's, you know, where was the frustration from him? He's never going to talk about it. You know, I doubt that there's going to be a tell-all from him in 25 years. But, I mean, you know, where was the frustration coming from? Was it coming from Joe or was it coming from the front office? You know, and to
me, do you think the fact that Tampa, that they just worked with young guys and there wasn't a whole lot of pressure, and then he got here and he had a bunch of veteran guys and they were expecting that maybe affected him?
Yeah, that could be true. I mean, you know, of course, when any of these hirings happen, the first thing they all talk about is, you know, how much the media loves the guys down in Tampa. You know, the media still loves Joe, and I think he still lives down there. And, you know, next year I wonder if he'll be involved with their organization again when he's no longer managing the Cubs. But, you know, and I that could have been a thing. You know, in Tampa, you know, what was the media like? You remember a couple of years back when we first started the podcast and the Astros were, you know, basically the Cleveland Browns of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they were letting local bloggers into the media events. You know,
yeah.
I don't know what the media, you know, Houston's big. From what I understand, everything's big in Texas. So you would think in Houston there'd be a lot of media down there, but there was no reason to be down there. So they were letting local bloggers in. I don't know what it's like now, but you've got to wonder, is it like that in Tampa?
Yeah, well, God, remember when we started, you could get Astro tickets for like a nickel or a dime on game day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, but I do need you to do me one favor. I don't know if you could reach out or help me accomplish this somehow, but I need you to contact the Cubs and see if you can get Chris Bryant going, because every time he makes an out now, I get an email. So, but I get it. You know, he's off to a rough start. He's only hitting 217. But oddly, when I get these emails, it never mentions the fact that Rizzo is hitting a 169. It's just about Chris Bryant and how bad he looks and, you know, how trouble he is and all this stuff. So I don't know if you could step in and help me out there, but maybe if you could pull strings, I would appreciate that.
Oh, it's all Javi's fault because Javi's doing so good.
Yeah, you know, I don't know whose fault it is, but yeah, it's definitely somebody's fault because, yeah, I mean, every out he makes is another email I get about how bad he is.
Well, you know what I'm blaming it at?
Scott Boras?
No, those stupid glasses.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Yeah, you know. Yeah, it definitely needs to change because I'm afraid to open my email now. It's just scary.
Yeah, well, and here's the sad part. If he continues on this route for this season and next season, I mean, he's going to wish he took that $10 million a year deal.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you do wonder, you know, contracts, you know, they do affect guys in different ways. You wonder if it's possible that, you know, he's putting extra pressure on himself.
Yeah.
You know, that is always possible.
I mean, Jason Hayward's looking good, though. So is that.
Yeah, he's off to a great start, and that's good for a change. You know, I mean, you know, he had such battles here those first couple years. You know, and I mean, he had always been a good player before, and it was just kind of like, man, what the heck's going on? But you know, hopefully he'll go out and have a fantastic year. I think that would be, that would be great. So, and just to add to it here, Dan, Boston is now up 3-0 as Christian Vasquez has hit a 2-bomb. So there you go. The Red Sox are putting up their homers tonight against the top. And I don't think
I'll be right back.
You know, I was on earlier. Did you see a home run derby on FanDuel? Because I didn't see it today. You know, I thought maybe they didn't do it because of the way the games were structured. So, oh, Dan might be on his break. I might be talking to myself right now. So, just one of those weird things that happens to me from time to time. Not like I don't talk to myself all the time, anyways. So we shall see how that goes, but. Yeah, so like I said, it looks like the Red Sox have brought the power bats. If you're watching that game, they're a couple home runs already to give themselves a early lead. We'll see if Nathan Eovaldi can keep that Yankee order in check with the guys they have going on there. So I did want to look. I thought for some reason I saw something of note on the waiver wire, but I guess not. I mean, just some, basic stuff. It looks like the Braves have reinstated Brian McCann. Rich Hill is out on a rehab assignment. So is Brock Holt. So, you know, those guys will be, rolling back in, pretty soon. Well, Hill, of course, hasn't pitched yet this year. But the Phillies did make an interesting move. They shipped Nick Pivetta off to AAA. Now, he got off to a terrible start. And they recalled Jared Eichhoff, who's going to take Pavetta's spot in the rotation. So, you know, that was kind of interesting there. And I want to see if I can grab Pavetta's stats real quick here because he really had scuffled out of the gate here. But, yeah, it was still a bit of a surprise because it had only been – He only made what, two or three starts, and it was kind of like, hey, okay, here we go. Let me see what we got here. He actually pitched in four games, and that's the wrong one. That's spring training. We don't want that one. He did make four starts. He, believe it or not, he was actually 2-1, but his ERA was 8.35. He only worked 18 innings, so I don't know. I guess maybe they thought he would be better off, in the minors. He did pitch last night. And he had a better start than a couple starts ago. He went five innings, seven hits. He gave up three runs. Did walk three and strike out just two. He is having a little issue with the walks, but not huge. You know, he's walked eight over his 18 innings, and he's only struck out five. But it was still a little bit of a surprise that they made the swap here so kind of quick, I guess I would call it. But if you're contending, I guess you want to make sure that you're ready to go. And, Eichhoff did get into a game. Did he get in today or what? When the heck did he get in? Where the heck is Eichhoff's game log here? Cause he's already logged four innings. Let me see what we got here. It looks like he came in relief last night and actually picked up a save. He went four innings, gave up just three hits and struck out six. So yeah, he looked really good. I guess that was enough to make the Phillies think he was ready to step into the starting rotation. He did make two starts at Lehigh Valley, which is the Phillies AAA organization. He went 2-0, but just covered 10 innings. And he did have a 4.50 ERA, but he struck out 10. He's striking out a batter an inning and walked just four. So his statistical sabermetric numbers, whatever you want to call them, are a lot better than Eichhoff or than Pivetta. So, we'll see if Pivetta can go down and get himself righted. But, like I said, I mean, when you're expected to contend and, the Phillies are contending, even though it's early, they're hanging around right there. Are they on top of the East or were the Mets still sneakingly there? Let me double check that. No, they're up top at 11-6. They've got a game and a half lead over the Braves and the Mets, and then three over the Nationals as the Marlins go away already. So you've got to kind of stay on top of this. And, I know David Robertson got injured. So I don't know. I don't think that would put them in the Craig Kimbrel market again. We talked about him a little earlier. Because they do have, Hector Neris, who does have the closing experience. And then they had Sir Anthony is, right, Dominguez last year, who did some closing. Pat Neshek, the veteran there, is in that bullpen. He's closed occasionally, but not too often. So I don't think they would jump in on that. I was just a little more surprised that they made the quick switch in their rotation with dropping Eichhoff and sending Pivetta down. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out for them. But his point is you figured yesterday, so we're not going to see Eichhoff get a start sometime. So we will kind of roll that out and see how it goes.
Now, Ed, I did say I'll be back. I'm on my break, and you just kind of kept talking.
I didn't hear you. I was talking to myself. I do that quite a bit.
I also asked you if Christian Vasquez was catching today or playing the infield.
No, he's catching.
Okay. And
back, and Vasquez has got the main guy. Leon is there to catch Chris Sale.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm going to ask you about stuff that you and I know absolutely nothing about. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, Tiger Woods won.
No, not that. Doesn't have anything to do with Tiger Woods. We're actually going to venture into the WNBA. All right. So now I'm guessing you didn't know this because I didn't know this either. But the MVP of the WNBA last year was Breonna Stewart, who I believe played for, I think it's the Seattle team. I'm gonna have to double check that to even see if I am correct there, but I believe that's where. She is on the Seattle Storm. Now, interestingly, the average WNBA salary for a player is just $56,000 a season. So most of these women, if you're talented, they will go play overseas. Now, Stewart is on a Russian team over there called Dynamo. What the heck is it? Let me see if I can find that now. Yeah, as you can tell, I'm really, really up on this. Dynamo, and it's Kursk, K-U-R-S-K. Well, in their championship series, she blew out her Achilles. And now she is going to miss the entire 2019 WNBA season. This, of course, brought up a big thing about everybody being upset that these women have to go over to, you know, foreign countries to play and make money because they can only make so much more here. You know, and Dan, this kind of brought me back to listening to your buddy David Kaplan when he always likes to spend everybody's money because it's easy to go out and spend these teams' money. But, man, you know, this league doesn't draw, Dan. I mean, it's not like they're selling out. And while these players are fantastic, you know, I mean, they're the best women in the sport. There's just no money here to own. Do they want to turn this league into the Alliance and bankrupt it?
Yeah, I mean, it does suck that they have to go that route. I mean, it could be worse. It could be softball.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, one of the challenges that I see with it is the popularity for the sport isn't really there. And I would definitely not be opposed to going. But when you're talking about $40, $50 tickets for a single person, you just priced me out because I don't know who's there. I don't know anything about the game. And, you know, it's bad enough. Both tickets are, you know, we're looking at $60, $70 a ticket, depending on the game. You know, and that's for a team that's, you know, kind of sucks, but at least they're, you know, guys you know. It has a legacy. I mean, the WNBA has been around for, I think, 20 years now. It doesn't really have that attraction like the NBA does, and, you know, it's going to take time. But, you know, I think the problem is the venues are too big to begin with, and with the venue, there's, like I said, they're charging $40 bucks a ticket. You know, that was even, you and I talked about the Big Baller League. I had a slight interest in going to see it. What the hell, you know? Until I saw the ticket prices. I mean, even the G League the same way. They want to charge a lot of money for you to watch a game that's really not all that important. And, you know, while the NBA puts together the G League, they'll never have a drawing like minor league baseball because you're going to go to minor league baseball and pay 10 bucks a ticket. You know, I don't know what it's going to cost to see Carlos Zambrano this year, but, you know, maybe 15 bucks. So, you know, that's one of the bigger things is they kind of, well, they didn't go as bad, like you said, as the AAF. I think they went hella way too big, too fast, and that was the biggest downfall. But the NBA, WNBA has been around for a while, and they've got to find a way to really get a following, whether it's through social media or TV. But I don't really think with a sport like that, TV is really gonna do it.
Yeah. Locally here, I just pulled up to see what it would cost us to go to a Chicago Sky game because that's our local WNBA affiliate, even though I believe they play in Hawthorne. That's a different story. It looks like the lowest ticket price is $28. There's 36 and then 52, and then it jumps up all the way to 165. And I get it. That's a first row seat. But are you really going to pay $165 to sit in the front row of a WNBA game unless you're the ultimate WNBA fan?
I don't even think the ultimate WNBA fan wants to pay that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Dan, I'm not paying $165 to go to a baseball game. And, you know, that's my number one sport. There's no way. You know, I mean, I would be more than interested in checking out a WNBA game because, you know, the team doesn't play far from where I live. You know, it wouldn't be a bad trip for me. But, you know, even at $28, you know, to just buy a cheap seat, it's kind of like, I could drive to Kane County and probably see two and a half or three Cougars games for that price.
Yeah. Well, and don't you think that's one of the things that kind of offsets their draw is the fact that we have the Chicago Sky over an hour away from the city of Chicago?
Well, aren't we used to that by now? You know, I mean, remember, the Speedway by you is called Chicagoland, and it's nowhere close to Chicagoland. So,
yeah.
No,
but
if they were racing, the Ultimate Estate Sky or the Shallow Sky, nobody's coming. You know, they'd probably even have less of a name value.
No, I know, but that's the problem right there. I mean, the Sears Center is expensive to rent. You know, or lease, or whatever their agreement is. And then, not only that, Big Jack, $28, now you got there. You probably had to pay at least $10 to park. Now you're at $38. I've been there before, over 10 years ago, for a arena football league. Did I eat there? I ended up sitting there the whole time and waited till me and the other guys I was with left. And we actually went to, like, a grocery store and bought the cold fried chicken. So we all ate for less than $10. And drank warm beer,
but yeah, you know, I don't have anything against these women getting paid because I mean they're fantastic. I've seen enough highlights and watched enough of games to realize that, you know, these women are incredibly talented, but you know, I mean, it boils down to like everything else. If you can't get anybody to come watch it, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, so I mean, I would love for them to get paid and be able to just stay here and play in America. But you know, the sport is more popular in Europe, so obviously there's more money there, and you know, that's just something. I think you kind of understand if this is a career you're going to pursue, you know, and I mean, you know, the league is trying. I mean, remember I believe they were the first ones to put advertising on the jersey, you know, to try to come up with a little money. And I just don't know, you know, and I mean, everybody keeps talking about, well, you know, look at the pay disparity between the NBA and the WNBA. Well, look at the attendance discrepancy before you start talking about, you know, who they're going to be equally paid. I mean, and again, like I said, I have no problem with them getting paid, but can you get somebody to come watch it?
Well, and that's what I mean about them being so far out of the city. You know, even if you put them in Schaumburg, by the airport, at least you can hop on the blue line and find a way there if you're in the city. But, I mean, you're Chicago Sky, you're a basketball team, and you want to get people to go there. Well, you're essentially missing out on 250,000 people that could access it by public transportation, if not more. You know, and you can't find an agreement with the Blue Devils.
I don't know if actually being closer to the city would help. I did see here that the average attendance per game was 6,721, and that's down almost 1,000 people from last year. So,
yeah,
So I don't know again what their options are. I mean, looking here, this goes back to 2010. They've never drawn average more than 8,000 per game. The highest they ever did was 7,955. So they were right there on the brink, but that was back in 2011. And with the exception of last year, the attendance kind of stabilized in that area, but it never dipped below 7,000 until this past year. And, like you said, I mean, I'm under the impression that their ticket prices probably went up just like every other league does.
Yeah.
And, sooner or later, you run out of, you run out of being, it no longer becomes a novelty. I mean, if I'm paying $28, this isn't something that I just want to check out. Like I'll go to any, like you said, you mentioned minor league baseball. I don't have a problem going to any minor league game because, the ticket's going to cost me $10. If I don't like the stadium or I don't like the team or, it's just not something I'm interested in, okay, I only blew $10. If I go to the Sears Center and I have to pay for parking and then the ticket costs me $28, I'm out close to $50. If I grab a beer, I'm out close to $50. If I don't like it, well, that's a big chunk of money for people. So, that would make it difficult for me to, to go back or to want to go back. And, again, I don't have any problems with them being paid more. You just got to show me where the revenue's coming from. Because when it all comes down to it, it's a business, right?
Yeah.
Like I heard somebody say, well, leagues know how to write these things off. They can, they can finagle it that way. And, if they want to make it look like they're going to take a loss, they're going to take a loss. Okay, obviously this guy doesn't have an accounting degree, Dan, right?
No, because you can't continually take a loss, because once you take a loss consecutively in a 5-year period, it's no longer considered a business.
Right. So, yeah, and obviously it's great to say these things. And, I know, nobody on a major sports network is going to come out and talk about this like you and I are going to talk about this. All they're going to come out and say is the women deserve more money. That's the bottom line. They're not going to say anything else. And then they're going to talk about what a huge disparity it is between the NBA and the WNBA. But, yeah, the bottom line is it doesn't matter what your product is. Just ask the alliance. If people aren't going to watch it, you're in trouble. So, yeah, I don't know. I wish him the best of luck. I don't want to see the league go out of business or anything like that. But, again, you got to find a way to get people in the door before the women can be paid more. And, I just don't know, unless you've got an answer, do you?
No, I don't have an answer. I mean, it all comes down to market.
Check out the new blog this morning. Hit that link and follow the Lincoln Sports Talk Radio Facebook page. Hey, you want all the way over there, you might as well give it a like while you're there, buddy. We also have the Twitter feed for that Sports Time Radio. You have to look at it on Twitter as well. That's cool. We're glad you came on and put us live. Yeah, we really appreciate that. And remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at 2.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.